This week we read Parshas Chukas, where the topic of today's shir is Eretz Yisrael and its neighbors, because in this week's Parsha we read about a lot of interaction of the Yidden with the neighbors, including in this week we have at least 8 interactions with neighbors. We have Melech Edom, the king of Edom, who they asked to go through his land and he refused. He said he's going to go with a sword against them, and the Jews are not allowed to wage war against Edom. There's 3 nations that you're not allowed to wage war against: Ammon, Moab, and Edom. We have the attack of Kanani Melech Arod, who according to Rashi and Midrashim is actually Amalek dressed up as Kanani, and that was right after Aaron's death and the Anani HaKovei disappeared. We have the Amori hiding in the cracks of 2 mountains that have separated and planning, as the Jews walk through the 2 mountains, to kill the Yidden who are walking through. And the 2 mountains come together and the Yidden don't know anything about the miracle. And then the Be'er, the well, goes and brings up some of the blood and pieces of bodies of the Amori who were killed there, and the Yidden knew about the amazing miracle that happened. We have the war against Sichon Melech HaAmori, who's one of the giants, and he was being paid by all the kings of Canaan to help guard them, he and Og. We have the battle against Yazer, which is a very short one pasuk, that Moshe sends spies. He sends Pinchas and Kolev to spy out Yazer, and they themselves capture the city. We have Og Melech HaBoshon, who comes with a mountain to throw on the Jewish people and try to kill them. And Moshe is afraid of him because of the merit that he has by having saved Avraham Avinu. Then we have about Ammon and Moab in the Haftorah. We have a war against Ammon, and the king of Ammon has complaints that the reason he's having this war is because the Jewish people have taken some of his land away. The Jewish people never took away any land from Ammon. It's actually prohibited to wage war against 3 nations, Ammon, Moab, and Edom. But what happened was Sichon had waged a war against Ammon and Moab and captured big pieces of Yabok, Cheshbon, etc. And then when the Jewish people captured the land of Sichon, they captured pieces of Ammon and Moab. And 300 years later, the Melech Ammon, the king of Ammon, demands these things back, and the Yidden don't want to give it back. And then we have the battle of Yiftach, the Shofet, and this one, who fought against the king of Ammon, which this connects us to a Gemara in Gittin, which says, Ammon u'Moav tiharu b'sichon. The nations of Ammon and Moav became purified through Sichon, which means that generally, it says in Parsha Devarim, that you're not allowed to wage war against Ammon or Moav. However, Sichon had a war with them. Actually, we learned that Sichon actually, Rashi tells us, that Sichon hired Bilam as a Navi to curse Ammon and Moav, and he won the war through capturing, and that's why the Melech Moav says that I know, he tells Bilam that I know Asher Tevorech Mevorech, Asher Toer, you are, whoever you bless is blessed, whoever you curse is cursed. So again, this week's Haftorah is a battle with Yiftach, with Ammon, and their argument is that Yidden have their whole area of Yabok, it's been originally, the Yidden are holding it and it's been captured from Ammon, and the Yidden say that Ammon u'mayav tiaru b'sichin, and it's actually a story of 300 years earlier. Concerning our relationships with our neighbors, I'd like to start with a few halachas in Rambam, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Vov. Generally speaking, the Rambam gives a halacha, ein oisin milchama im adam ba'olam. It is prohibited to wage war against any human being, ad shekoyrin le'shalim. You must give an option of peace. To have war and an unconditional battle, he's our enemy, that is not acceptable against anyone. Even it seems, even Amalek and the 7 nations, you have to give an option of peace to everyone. Echad milchemes harishus, whether it's an optional battle to widen the borders of Eretz Yisrael, v'echad milchemes mitzvah, even if it's a milchemes mitzvah, which is a battle against the Shiva Umos, the 7 nations, a battle against Amalek, Nevertheless, the Rambam says, you always must give an option of peace. Shenemar, there's a pasuk in Parshat. Yes.
But Amalek you have to wipe out onto
the Amalek you have to wipe out, but you must give them an option of peace. That's what the Rambam brings. Even Amalek. Now the Rambam gives what the details of how the option will work. But there is an option. Well, you should look through the Rambam in detail as to what the options are. Yes, there is a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, but even with Amalek, there has to be Achatayin Leisholim. And the Rambam says, Echad Mulchemes Rishus, Echad Mulchemes Mitzvah. Shenemar, I know that it shocked me also when I learned it the first time. Shenemar, Kisikra Velir Lihilachim Aleha, when you come to a city to fight it, Vikarasa Aleha Leisholim, you have to call for peace. Im Hishlimu, if they agree to make peace, Vikiblu Sheva Mitzvah Shenitzhavu B'nei Noyach, and they accept the seven mitzvahs which the B'nai Noyach were commanded. They don't have to become full Gedim, they just have to accept the basic seven mitzvahs. Ein Hoyrgin Mehen Neshama, we don't kill any of them. Baharei Hein Lemas, they have to pay taxes. And the Rambam says it's both financial and physical. Shenemar Yiyu L'chol Lemas V'avaducha, they have tax and they serve you. Now, the Rambam goes on with the details of how Yeshua offered peace to the seven nations of Canaan, which this Rambam is a Rambam that many people don't realize. The Rambam in Perek Vav from Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Hey, brings Shloisha Ksovim Shalach Yeshua Ad Shenich Linichnas Loretz. Before Yeshua entered Eretz Yisrael, he sent three letters to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Harishain Shalach Lahem, the first thing he sends them is, Mi Sheroitzam Livroyach Yivrach. You can run away. The Yidden are here to capture Eretz Yisrael, but no one is being forced to do any. You can leave, as we learned, that they're Girgashi left. If you don't want to leave, you still don't have to fight. The Chazar Shalach, then he sent another letter. Mi Sheroitzam Lahashlim Yashlim, whoever wants peace, we will give you details of what peace can deal is, which is to pay physical and financial taxes, as well as the Sheva Mitzvahs. Because, so therefore, if you want to leave, no problem, and you don't have to keep any Sheva Mitzvahs, anything. No taxes, no mitzvahs, nothing. If you want to stay, you have to keep the seven mitzvahs, and you have to pay taxes physically and financially. And then he says, because our Vishalach, then he sends another letter, Mi Sharaitzim Lasais Milchama Yaseh. You want to wage more, wage more. Im Kain, if so, there's a major question that Rambam asks. We have the famous story of the inhabitants of Givin who made in Yeshua Perek Tes, they made a whole trick. They pretended to live far away and they were really close by and they tricked the Jewish people into a treaty. Why'd they have to go through a trick? Why didn't they? There was an option of making an open treaty with everybody. So the reason that Rambam brings they did this is Lefisha Shalach Lem Bechal V'loi Kiblu. Originally, when they were offered peace, they said no. And they thought you only get one chance, you don't get a second chance. V'loi Yadu Mishpat Yisrael. They didn't know the laws of Yidden, because the laws of Yidden is, even if you said, I don't want peace, if you change your mind and you want peace, there's always an option of peace. V'dimu, and they thought, Sheshuv Ein Peischin Lem L'sholim. The inhabitants of Givin thought that since they had said they want to wage war, they no longer have this option of peace, but it's false. It's not true, because we have a pasuk we mentioned. Kisikra velir lilochim aleha v'karasa aleha l'sholim. You have to call for peace. And the people of Givin thought, v'dimu sheshuv ein peischin lehem l'sholim. They thought they blew it. There's no chance for peace anymore. Now, if so, if there's an option of making peace, so why were the Nesiim so upset about the peace that was made with the people of Givin? If there's an option of peace, and they took the option of peace, why are you upset about it? V'lama kosha hadavar la Nesiim, why were the Nesiim upset about it? V'ro'u, and they saw sheroi la kaisam lefichereb, that really we should kill all these people of Givin, lule hashvu, if not for the fact that we swore peace to them. Now, why are you so upset? You want to make peace. They were so upset, they made a covenant. The problem was Elodimu Shayu Lamas Dinam Hoyashiyu Lamas Avadim. Because the people of giving were locals, they were obligated to keep the seven mitzvahs, and they were obligated to take on to pay taxes physically and financially. The people of giving who claim to be from a far-off country, if the Chinese or the Japanese want to make peace, you don't have to make them pay taxes, and you don't have to make them keep Sheva Mitzvahs. Because the oath that was made to the people in giving was with a misconception, the people of giving misled us. Really, the people of giving deserve to be killed because they tricked the Jewish people. Except that Yeshua decided that it would be a chilul Hashem, it'll be a desecration of the name of Hashem because we swore to them. And that's why the Jewish people continued with the peace of the city of giving. And we're soon going to see the famous story of the Battle of Giving, how the Jewish people waged a war, the famous Battle of Gimel Tammuz, to protect the people of giving. Then the Rambam goes on, Amayinu Mayav Ein Sholchem Lem L'Sholim. We never offer peace for Amayin and Mayav, even though we don't wage war at them either. As it says, L'Sidrim Shleim Mishvatevasim Kol Yamecha, never offer them peace. It says, V'Karosayin Lem L'Sholim, maybe Amayin and Mayav, there it says, L'Sidrim Shleim Mishvatevasim. Generally, it says, Imcha Yeshiv B'Kirbucha, let a ger live in your midst. By an Alay Seinenu, don't abuse him. By Amin and Mayav, it's not true. It says, yes? Question? Okay, I'm going to mute everybody. And if you have a question, unmute yourself. Yeah, please unmute yourself if you have a question. So it may be Amin and Mayav as well. Talmud Leimer v'tevasam. Af al pi shein shoyal in b'shloiman, even though we don't suggest peace. But by the way, just to mention, with Amin and Mayav, nor do we wage a war, because Amin and Mayav are amongst the three nations that we're not allowed to wage a war with. We're not allowed to wage war with Amin and Mayav because they come from light. We're not allowed to wage war with Edom because Esav is your brother. Nevertheless, im hishlimu me'atzman t'chila, if the people of Amin and Mayav, if they initiate the peace, we accept him, but we don't initiate peace. Then he goes on in Halacha Zayin. When we make a siege of a city, we want to capture a city. And the general thing is you have a siege on all sides and you starve the people. Everybody's aware that Leningrad during World War II, hundreds of thousands of people died of starvation. That's the way they make a siege. But Halacha doesn't allow that. When you make a siege of a city to capture it, it is prohibited to surround the city from all four sides because then the civilians have no way to escape to get food. They could starve to death. That's terrible. When you siege a city, you're only allowed to surround it from three sides. We leave place for anyone who wants to escape, save his life. If anyone wants to save his life, we must have a safe escape route available. Shenemar, as it says, by Yitzbu al Midian, they had the war against Midian, which was right after the story of Balak with Moav and Midian, who got the Midian girls, got the Jewish people to sin, and they had a war against Midian. Again, it says there, by Yitzbu al Midian, Kashat Siva, Hashem es Moshe. They waged war against Midian according to the way Hashem commanded Moshe, which is that anybody who wants to escape has a chance to escape. You don't threaten lives with a siege. Mishpi Hashmua Lomdo. Now, actually, in the pasuk, it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. What is the commandment? But Mishpi Hashmua Lomdo. The Chazal have a tradition Shebekach Tzivo that this was the commandment, that you have to leave an escape route and you have to make sure that people are not forced to die in a siege, in a war. You don't want to kill civilians unless they refuse to escape. Then he goes on in Halacha Ches, when you're sieging a city, you're not allowed to cut fruit trees, because again, the people are going to starve. You're sieging a city, you don't block their water supply. You want to dry out the water supply. You're not allowed to do that. Shenemar, as it says, don't destroy the trees. That's the fruit trees. You're not allowed to destroy fruit trees. You're not allowed to destroy water supplies because you don't want to starve the civilians, even though it's a war. A war, what do we have to fight? If somebody cuts a fruit tree, even in a war, or somebody blocks a water supply, it's a terrible aveda, there's malchus. This is not only in a siege, you're not allowed to cut a fruit tree. Every place, a person who destroys fruit trees, like it is malchus. What if the fruit tree is damaging other trees? You're allowed to cut a fruit tree. If it's maziki loni sachedim, if it's damaging other trees, it's damaging other fields, or it's very expensive and the value of the property for building for whatever is more expensive than the value of the fruit. The prohibition of cutting the fruit tree is only if it's destructive. If it's constructive and helps people live a better life in a long run, then it's permissible to cut a fruit tree, even though we avoid doing it. Now, we were speaking about the people of Givon who made peace, and that the other nations came to attack the people of Givon. How dare they make peace with the Jewish people? The people of Givon asked Yeshua for help. And the famous battle of Givon, the famous war, is on Gimel Tammuz. It's on Gimel Tammuz, according to Seder Olam, when Yehoshua bin Nun said, Shemesh be-Givon doim, may the sun stop in Givon, v'yoreach be'emek Ayolin, the moon in the valley of Ayolin. And then Yehoshua won this war in a miraculous way. And this was the Gimel Tammuz, the famous battle of Friday, Gimel Tammuz. Just to go through a little bit about this Gimel Tammuz battle of Givon. And it's in Yehoshua Perek Yud, it's in Pasuk Hey. Five kings gathered together, the king of Yerushalayim, of Hebron, of Yarmuth, of Lachish, of Eglon, with all their camps. And they all attack Givon, and they fight against Givon. And the earlier psukim say they're fighting against Givon, because how dare Givon make peace with the Jewish people. And in Pasuk Vav, the people of Givon send a message to Yeshua, to Gilgal, just to mention that the place where the Jewish people first camped when they crossed the Yarden is called Gilgal. It's called Gilgal because that's the place where they made the bris. When the Jewish people crossed the Yarden, it was on Yud Nissen that they crossed the Yarden. And the next day, which was Yud Aleph Nissen, the Jewish people all made a bris. And it's actually mentioned that it's called Gilgal because Hayom Galoisi, that today I have uncovered Cherpas Mitzrayim, because the Egyptians, stargazers, were saying that we saw that when the Jewish people come to Israel, there's going to be a lot of blood. And that blood, which the stargazers saw, was actually the blood of the Bris Milah, which happened on Yud Aleph Nissan, the first full day that they were in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, just Bechlau, quite an interesting thing, that Bris, which is the concept of uniting the Elyon and Tachtin, the upper and the lower, and the first massive bris in Eretz Yisrael was done on Yud Aleph Nissan, which the Rebbe's inyan is the concept of Dira B'tachtayinim, but that's a side point. The people of Givon sent a message to Yeshua, to Gilgal, and they said, Al teref yodecha me'avodecha, don't leave us alone. Alei eleinu, go up to us, mehera, quick, v'yishiyonu, and save us, v'yozreinu, and help us. Ki nikbitzu eleinu, kol malchei o'emeiri yoshevahar. All the kings of the Almighty have ganged against us. And these kings were not gathered to fight the Jewish people. They were gathered to fight these people of Givon, who were goyim, who had tricked Yeshua. Now, Yeshua has a major question. Should I go help the people of Givon? These people had tricked us. These people really deserve to be killed. Nevertheless, Yeshua decides, because of the concept of Kiddush Hashem, and they did make a treaty, and we did swear to them, Yeshua decides, he goes from Gilgal Friday morning with the whole Am HaMelchama, all the Gibayi HaChayim, all the strong people. And Hashem tells Yeshua, in Pasuk Ches, don't be afraid of them. I'll give them in your hand. None of them will stand against you. Now in Pasuk Tes, Yeshua appeared suddenly a whole night, which was the night between Rosh Chodesh and Bay Friday, was Beis Tammuz. The night of Beis Tammuz, Yeshua spent the whole night traveling from Gilgal to Gilgal. Now, Vayehumeim Hashem Lifnei Yisrael. And Hashem Vayehumeim, Rashi in a number of places mentioned that whenever we have Vayehumeim, it's Mahuma, it's thunder, that there was big thunder which mixed up the nations. Vayakeim Maka Gedoyla Begiving, and many of these enemies were killed in Giving. So many of the enemies were killed in Giving, and Yeshua chases them through Male Beis Chayrin. Now we have in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now there's a few parts to this battle. Part one is that Yeshua comes with a surprise. Part two, there are thunders, a big thunderstorm, which mixes up the Canaanim totally. Then he strikes them a maka rabo, and they run derech Male Beis Chayrin. And as they're running, and they're going up the mud, they're going down the mud of Beis Chayrin. It's a downhill of Beis Chayrin. Suddenly, Vahashem Hishlech Aleim Avonim Gedoyleis Min HaShemayim. Suddenly, big stones come down on them from heaven, Adazeko, Vayomusu, and they died. Rabim Asher Mesu Me'ansh Avnei HaBorod. More people died from these hailstones than Horgu B'nei Yisrael Bechorev, than the Jewish people killed by sword. There's an amazing, before we continue the story of the Battle of Giving, there's an amazing Gemara Brachas Daf Nun Dalet, which mentions that if somebody, Tanu Rabbanan, Haroye, if somebody sees any of these places where great miracles happen to the Jewish people, Ma'abros Hayam, where the Jewish people crossed the Yamsuf, Ma'abros Hayarding, where they crossed the Jordan River, Ma'abros Nachli Arnon. Nachli Arnon is what we mentioned, where these mighty people were hiding between the mountains and planning to get the Jewish people and kill them when they go between two mountains. Now, Avnei El Govish, B'mayred Beis Chayrin, the Avnei El Govish. And we're soon going to connect the Avnei El Govish to the Battle of Giving. We'll soon see the meaning of the word El Govish. And the stone that Oig Melech HaBoshan wanted to throw on the Jewish people, and the stone that Moshe sat when they had Melchemes HaMolek, or Lot's wife, who turned into a pillar of salt, or if you see Yericho's wall that was swallowed in its place, for all these things, you have to give thanks to Hashem. The Gemara Brachas Nun Dalet continues. My Avnei El Govish. What does it mean, Avnei El Govish? Tano, we learned in a Baraisa, Avonim She'omdu Al Gav Ish. There was an Ish, there was a man who's called Ish, and he got these stones to stop in midair. V'yordu Al Gav Ish. And then there was another man called Ish, and he got these stones which were stagnant in middle air for many, many years, and he got them to come down the rest of the way. What is the story here? Omdu al gavish, they stopped because of Ish, Zem Moshe. As it says, Ish Moshe on of Moshe. Moshe is called Ish, a very humble man. And Moshe, by the Makas Borod, Moshe said the stones should stop, and the hailstones stopped wherever they were, and they just remained where they were. It says, Vayachdumu Hakoilis Vahaborod, the thunder, and the hail stopped, and the rain didn't come down, and the hailstones also didn't come down. So they stayed where they were. And 40 years later, in the days of Yeshua, they came down on the people, on the enemies of the people of Giving who had come to attack. And they, most of the people killed in that battle were killed by these stones. Yordu al Gavish, they came down from an Ish, is Yeshua. As Moshe is told, take Yeshua bin Nun, Ish asher ruach boy, a man who has a spirit, he's called Ish. And it says, Vayehi bin Musam, Mipnei b'nei Yisrael, when the Knani, the five cities who came to attack against in the Battle of Giving, when they were running away from the Jews, Haim bin Meirat Beis Chayrin, they were going down Beis Chayrin, Vahashem Hishlich Aleim Avonim Gedoyleis, Hashem threw big stones on them. Then continuing Yeshua Perek Yud, Oz Yidaber Yeshua Hashem. Then it was Friday afternoon, and the big stones had just killed many. So the thunder and they themselves killed, and the stones, but there were still a lot of enemies left. and it's Friday afternoon. Oz Yedaber Yeshua Hashem, Yeshua speaks to Hashem. B'yayim teis Hashem es ha'amayri, lefnei b'nei Yisrael, the day that Hashem had all these amayri fall before the Yidden, and he says, b'yayimer le'enei Yisrael, and Yeshua says in front of all the Yidden, Shemesh be'givayim doim, the sun should stop in giving, v'yoreach be'emek ayolein, and the moon should stop in the valley of Ayolein. Now, quite interesting that Yeshua said this publicly in front of everybody. Rashi says, Oz Yedaber, Rashi says, Shira Tachas HaShemesh, the Shemesh, the sun, every day sings a song to Hashem. Now, if Yeshua is going to silence the sun, who's going to sing that song? So Yeshua says, I'm going to sing the sun. Sun, Doim, you be silent. And Rashi is translating the word Doim as be quiet. And Oz Yedaber Yeshua, Yeshua will sing that song. Mefisha Amar LaShemesh Doim, because Yeshua told the sun to be silent, Doim Min Leimar Shira, be silent from saying Shira, and the calls Manshu Doim Oimei Veinim Ahale, when the sun is quiet, it doesn't move, Shebechol Eisim Luchayemar Shira, as the sun moves, he says Shira, he sings to Hashem. He's going to be quiet, he'll stop his movement. So Yeshua tells the sun, stop singing, and that will stop your movement, and I'll take over your song. So the simple, the first shot of Rashi is that Daim is be silenced from saying Shira, and that will get you to stop. And then Rashi brings Pshuta Shemikra, Daim is Hamtona, wait, and he brings a number of Psukim. Mentioning that in Seder Olam Rabba, he mentioned that this whole story, it was Begimel Tammuz, B'Shloisha B'Tammuz, by Yoyim Erleina Yisrael. It was when Yeshua said this in front of all the Jewish people. Shemesh begiving daim v'yoreach beimek ayolein. It was on Friday, 3rd of Tammuz, by Yidoim Hashemesh, and the sun waited, or the sun was silenced. And the next pasuk, by Yidoim Hashemesh, the sun waited, or the sun was silenced. V'yoreach omad, and the moon stayed in place. Ad yok yikam goy oivav, till they took revenge from the nation of their enemies. Haloi hiksuva al sefer ayosher. This is already predicted in Chumash Bereishis. Because in Chumash Bereishis, when Yaakov blesses Ephraim, he says, "V'zaroi yiyeh meloi ha-goyim," that there will be a descendant of Ephraim who will fill the nations. All the nations of the world will talk about this descendant of Ephraim, which refers to Yeshua bin Nun. V'yamoid ha-shemesh b'chatzi ha-shamayim, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky. And he didn't continue to come down. Mitzudas David brings Kiyoim Tomim, that he stopped for a full day, 24 hours. There was a 24-hour break from the sun's movement. And then in Pasuk Yudalad we have such a great day that somebody should talk to the sun and the moon and in front of everybody and tell the sun and the moon to stop. And the sun and the moon listened, Lishmaya Hashem b'koyelish, that Hashem should obey a person. Ki Hashem nilchom liYisrael, because Hashem fought for the Jewish people. Now, we have mentioned in other shiurim, about 15 or so, maybe more, other unusual movements of the sun. Yet this one in Givayin, on Gimel Tammuz, is the greatest one. Why? Because here Yeshua publicly addresses the sun and the moon in front of thousands and thousands of Yidden, and everybody knows he's talking to the sun and nobody expects any progress, and the sun stops and everything stops. Now there's an amazing Marshon Masech Avodah Zarah that asks, why was it urgent to stop the sun? Yal pi din, you're allowed to fight on Shabbos. Marshon says, Vein lahakshes, ma chilul Shabbos hayasham. What was the issue of desecration of Shabbos? Ki even the hayam ulchemes chayva, it was a war of chayva. It was a war of capturing Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvah of capturing Eretz Yisrael is a milchemes mitzvah. K'may shehut erlam milchama b'Shabbos. You're allowed to have war on Shabbos b'Yerichai. They were allowed to fight Yerichai on Shabbos. So why? What's the problem with this war? Let it the sun set and fight on Shabbos. So Marsha says the Yeshleimer, Shelehoya milchama zu b'tchila milchemes chayva. This war, when it first started, in other words, yes. Once you're in the middle of this war, it's a milchemes chayva, because in the middle you're being attacked. But in the beginning, there was not a milchemes chayva. You didn't need to get involved in this war. They weren't. Nobody was chasing Yidden. They were chasing the people of giving, who were goyim, who converted with a trick. And Labo b'molchamazum lekibosh Eretz Yisrael. They didn't come. Shaloibo. This war was not capturing Eretz Yisrael, which is a molchamis mitzvah. That's not the purpose of the war. The purpose of the war is lehatzil yoshvei giving, to save the inhabitants of giving. Kimefudish b'kro, like the pasuk says. Who says that you're allowed to be desecrate Shabbos to save the inhabitants of giving? But it's a shayla v'chil Hashem. So there was a major halachic question if you're allowed to fight this war on Shabbos or not. And they didn't want to go through a very complicated halachic discussion. So Yeshua says the best thing is shemesh b'giving doy v'yoreach v'yimek ha'yolim. Sun, stop. Take a 24-hour break. We'll delay Shabbos 24 hours. Finish the war. And then there's no halachic questions. Now, speaking about our neighbors and speaking about the neighbors, specifically the descendants of Lot, Ammon, and Moab, there's an amazing Medrash Rabbah. V'gam l'Lot ha'hoylech, it's in Bereishis Rabbah, Mem Aleph Gimel, it's in Parsha Lech Lecha. V'gam l'Lot ha'hoylech es Avraham. Lot went along with Avraham. When Avraham left first to Haran and then to Eretz Yisrael, Lot went along with him. Now, Lot had great benefits from going along with Avraham. Arba devarim toivim hoyu Lot ba'avur Avraham. Lot had four major benefits because he went with Avraham. The first benefit is vayelech Avraham vayelech itein Lot. Lot went along with him in the very beginning. So Lot is able to get away from the idolatry and connect to Hashem. The second basic benefit Lot got is v'gam l'Lot ha'hoylech es Avraham, and it says there, ha'yatsoinu v'okor v'yaholim. Lot had plenty of sheep, plenty of cattle, tents. Lot became a very wealthy man. So Lot, by going along with Avraham, became very wealthy. The third benefit, v'yoshov es kol ha'refush. The king of Lot, when the four kings, there was a war of the four kings against the five kings, and the four kings captured the people of Sodom, and Lot had been living in Sodom, and all the people in Sodom, including Lot, lost all their possessions. And then Vayoshev es kol ha'rechush, Avraham captured all the possessions of the king of Sodom and Amora, and he gave back all their possessions. And Vigames Lot, and he gave back Lot as well, together with his possessions. So there was a time where all Lot's possessions were captured, and Avraham gave back to him and to his friends all their money. So far we had three benefits. Initially, he went with Avraham and connected to Hashem. Second, that he went along with Avraham and became wealthy. Third is that when the four kings took away his possessions, he got it back together with all the other people of Sodom. And number four, when Hashem destroyed Sodom and Amor and Admut Tzvoim, Hashem remembered Avraham and he took Lot out. He sent special malachim to save Lot. So Lot owes Avraham four major favors. And Lot knows that the future of Avraham is the Yidden. Avraham's whole thing is that he'll have children who will connect Hashem, which is Am Yisrael. What would be expected is the children of Lot, who are the nations of Ammon and Moab, should be looking for opportunities to help the Jewish people in appreciation for what our Zayde Avraham did to them. Not only didn't they do us favors, Eloroys, on every opportunity they tried to hurt us. Hadohu diksiv, there's a psukim that say, Vayishlach malochim el Bilam ben Boir. Number one, we have in Parsha Balak, that Balak from Moav sends messengers to Bilam v'ata lecho orelias omazeh. They want to curse the Jewish people. Then number two is in Shoiftim, Perek Gimel, Vayesoif elov es b'nei, Amoin v'amolik, v'yelech v'yachas Yisrael, he struck the Jewish people, v'yirshu es ir hatmorim, and they captured ir hatmorim. I'm just thinking, it's in Paragimu, it's either with Osniel ben Kenaz or with Ehud ben Gera, we'll just check it up. It's Shoiftim Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Which Shoifet is this with? Shoiftim Gimel Yud Gimel. It is after it is, just a second. Shaftim Gimel Yud Gimel, sorry about my delay. It is with Eglon Melech Moav, who is after the death of Asniel ben Knaz, the one who fought Ehud ben Gera, who was the king of Moav, who fought Ehud ben Gera. So Eglon Melech Moav, gathered all these nations to fight the Jewish people. Eglon Melech Moav did not show appreciation for what Avraham had done for Lot. And he also gathered Bnei Amon. Then we have a story in Divrei Hayomim in the days of King Yehoshaphat that Bnei Moav, Bnei Amon, and Amonim came against Yehoshaphat. And again, there was this massive war. In the end, these three nations killed each other. But originally, these three nations were determined to destroy the Jewish people. Again, Hashem, you were saved because of Avraham. What do you pay back? You try to destroy his people. And then we have a pasuk in Eicha that by destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, all the other nations went to cap supplies. Amon and Moav yadoi parash sar al kol machmadel. They went on the most beloved possessions of the Jewish people. Amon and Moav had a go against the Sifrei Torah, where it says lo yavoi Amon yomayavi b'kaal Hashem. So Amon and Moav went to rip the Sifrei Torah. Again, you should show appreciation for what Avraham Avinu did, and their chait is written in four places in Tanakh. It says about the sin of Amon and Moav. One in Parsha Kisaitse, Le'yovei Amoni Yomayovi, somebody from Amon and Moav cannot marry with the Jewish people because they didn't greet you with lechem and mayim, with bread and water. There's a pasuk in Micha, remember what Balak Melech Moav made negative plans. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah, because the Amon and Moav did not greet the Jewish people with bread and water, and they hired Bilam ben Meir to curse the Jewish people. And there's a pasuk in Yeshua again about calling Bilam ben Meir to curse them. So we have four places in Tanakh. Amon and Moav on four different occasions showed lack of appreciation. And that's why on four different occasions, the Torah mentions the sins of Amon and Moav, the descendants of Lot. Now we're going to move to another neighbor, Avimelech, the king of Plishtim. And we go back to the days of Avraham Avinu and Avraham Avinu's relationship with Avimelech. And there's a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. We read this on Rosh Hashanah. Vayikach Avraham tzoin uvokar vayitin Avimelech. Avraham makes a treaty with Avimelech. He takes sheep and cattle. He gives Avimelech. And amongst other things, he gives Avimelech seven sheep. Vayomer Avimelech el Avraham, Mo heino sheva kfosois. What are these seven sheep? The pasuk says, Asher hitzafton levadona, which you put seven sheep separately. And Avraham goes on to say that this will be an aid that I dug these as well. And this is for peace with Avraham and Avimelech. And Avraham is hoping that these seven sheep will be a move towards peace. Now, Avraham did not consult with Hashem about giving Avimelech these seven sheep. Now, one would say, what's the problem here? Avraham was a very wealthy man. What's the big deal if he gave Avimelech seven sheep? He's not missing anything. Yet the Medrash is very critical of Avraham over this. Omar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash Rabbah. Hashem says to Avraham, Aton nosato sheva kfosis belirat zayini, you gave seven sheep without my will. Chayecha shani mashe besimchas bonecha shiva doiris. I am going to delay the joy of your family by seven generations. And then he goes on to say, Aton nosato sheva kfosis belirat zayini, you gave seven sheep without my will. Because of this, you did an Aveda, you made a peace treaty with a number seven. Because seven sheep is to Avraham is no big deal. But the issue is that Avraham made a peace treaty with Avimelech without asking Hashem. And he gave seven sheep. Because of this, Hoirgim Mibonecha Shiva Tzadikim. The Plishtim, Avimelech's people, are going to kill seven Tzadikim. So the first thing we had is that the Beis HaMikdash will be delayed seven generations for the seven sheep. Seven tzaddikim will be killed by the Plishtim, which are Hophni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli, Shimshon, Shaul, and Shaul's three sons. Then number three, the Medr says, you gave Satan the Satan Sheva Kvasis Beloy Ritzaini. You gave seven sheep to this Abimelech without my will. What's the big deal? Seven sheep. Avram is a rich man. Doesn't matter. You made a peace treaty without consulting with Hashem. Kach Cain Kneged Cain Bonov Machriv Mi Bonecha Shiva Mishkonis. There will be seven dwellings of Hashem, a Mishkan, a Beis Hamikdash, which will be destroyed. And seven Beit Matei Mikdash will be destroyed. Some of them were just transferred to another one, which is the Ayel Moed in the Midbar. Gilgal, when they first came to Israel, was for 14 years. Naiv and Givain, which was 57 years between Shilai and the Beis Hamikdash, and then Shilai and the two Beis Hamikdash. So there were seven houses of Hashem that were destroyed. And this was all because of the seven sheep that Avraham gave to Avimelech. Then he says, Atom nosata sheva kvasis beloy ritzaini. You gave seven sheep without my wanting it. Keneged kein aroini chayzer b'stei plishtim shiva chadoshim. My aroin is going to sit in the land of plishtim for 7 months. Now we have similarly a Gemara in Nidorim, which says, Gemara brings different opinion on this, but one that I find fascinating. Why did Avraham Avinu get punished and the Yidden had to work in Mitzrayim 210 years? Because there were Goyim that could have become Jewish. There were Goyim, when Avraham won the war against the four kings, he had captured all of the people of Sodom and Amora. Avraham could have used this as an opportunity to teach these people about Hashem, to educate them. Instead, he gave an option to the king of Sodom. He says, the king of Sodom says, ten liyah nefesh, give me back the people. And Avraham hands him back all his people. And these people of Sodom became very wicked. If they would have stayed with Avraham, maybe they would have come good people. So Rabbi Yochanan says, shehifrish b'nei yodam min lehikoneis tachas kanfei ha-shechina. He separated people from joining the wings of the Shechina. Quite amazing, because I would have thought the people of Sodom are such terrible people, they're the last people we want. No, every human being has a chance, and you should influence every human being to connect to Hashem. And these people of Sodom could have been brought to Kanfei Hashechina. And Melech Sodom says, ten liyah nefesh v'rechush kach loch, and Avraham gives everything back. Rashi says, ten liyah nefesh v'rechush kach loch, that's not what Avraham should have done. He should have made giyur, meaning he should have taught them about Hashem. There was no such thing as official giyur then. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nissen, says the same thing as Rashi. Tenli anefesh, Avraham Avinu, Nostamle. He gave all these people to the king of Sodom and Amora. Vilo ikvan latzmo, if Avraham would have kept these people for himself, he would have brought them to Haskan ve'ashchina. He could have connected them to Hashem. There was such amazing opportunity for education. We have a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is from Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, one of the teachers of Rabbi Akiva. He brings over there Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Shleisha Ovis, Korsu Brisim Ameyoret. All three of our fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, made covenants with the Goyim. And the truth, I can understand, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were single people against millions of Goyim, so they wanted to live in peace. Ve'en lohein Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells us that every peace treaty that was made by Avraham, by Yitzchak and Yaakov, backfired against their children. Avraham koras brisim amei haoretz. Avraham made a covenant with the people of the land, kishenigalu olav ha-malachim, when the malachim came to visit him, and he thought they were guests, and he ran to them, and he made a big seuda, and he told Sarah to make a big seuda, and at that time Sarah became a nida, and therefore he never gave the ugois, because her period came, and then he ran to bring a ben abokar, and the ben abokar ran away from him. And this ben abokar, this ox that Avraham tried to get to serve the malachim, ran into Moras HaMachpelah. Avraham entered the Moras HaMachpelah following this ox, and he finds Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava lying there on beds, and they're lying, they're sleeping, and there's candles, and there's a good smell, a reyach lichoyach, a smell that gives pleasure to Hashem. Avraham saw this Moras HaMachpelah, and he says, I desire to be buried there. And he told the B'nai Yevus that he wants to buy the Aras HaMachpelah. He'll give them good money to have it as a burial place. Were they Yevusim? They were Chittim. But it was called Yevus. And the people didn't want to accept it. Avram started bowing to them, as it says, Vayishtachol Avram lefnei Amoritz. The people of Yevus said, we know that Hashem is going to give you and your children all these lands. Make an oath with us that this area of Yevus, you will not capture it without the permission of the Yevusim. And then we'll sell you the Aras HaMachpelah for gold, and we'll make a permanent contract. And Avram listened to Ephraim, and he made this contract, and he made this contract with the people of Yevus. What did the people of Yevus do? They took tzalmei nechoshes, they took tzlomim, statues of copper, they put it in the main streets of this city of Yevus. Just to mention, Yevus is part of Yerushalayim, where Ir David is today. I mean, I've been there, as you saw, and visited. It's known as Ir David, but it used to be called Yevus. So these people of Yevus made tzlomim, made statues, and they wrote the shvua, this oath that Avraham made. And when the Yidden entered and they wanted to go to Ir HaYevusi, they couldn't enter because of the covenant of Avraham, as it says, Ves HaYevusi, Yoshev Yerushalayim. The Yidden couldn't capture them. And when David became king, he wanted to enter the Yevusi. And they said, Leitovei Heina, you cannot come here because we made a covenant. And actually, it's found in Sefer Shmuel that they had pictures of the blind and the crippled, and the blind refers to Yitzchak because it says, Vayehiki Zokein Yitzchak Vatechena Einov Meida Ois. The crippled refers to Yaakov, who was struck on the Gid Hanoshe. And he goes on, Vahoyu Yisrael Kechayin Hayom, they didn't have big numbers. But because of the oath of Avraham, David went back. David couldn't get to Ir David. He couldn't capture Yevus, as it says, Vayeshev David b'Mitzuda. He was told, you cannot enter this Yevus till you get rid of all these statues, which had this covenant. As it says, you cannot enter until you remove the Ivrim and the Pischim, the blind and the crippled. These blind and the crippled, again, it's a symbol that the blind refers to Yitzchak and the crippled refers to Yaakov. They weren't entering the Beis HaMikdash Chas V'Shalom, but this is the statues that have eyes they don't see, feet they can't walk. Seinei Neshev Nefesh David. David hated them because they were Avodah Zarah, and that's why they said Iveru Piseach. Anyway, David says whoever can remove these statues. Now just understand this, Rashi brings that the deal was only by Avimelech, it's mentioned, Tishker Liul Anini Umanepti, as long as Avimelech's grandson is alive. And therefore, that oath had expired. But the Yevusi still had these pictures of the blind and crippled, and they claimed that the oath is still binding. So David tells his men, whoever goes and removes these statues, which have this oath, will become a leader. Yoav ben Tsruya went, became a leader. And then David bought the city for a kikar zoh, for a lot of gold, and permanent, and made it for his possession. He took from every single shevet 50 shkolim, altogether 600 shkolim, which he gave Arnoin or Aravna Hayevusi for the area of Yerushalayim. So that's the first story about Avraham made a covenant. Yitzchak made a covenant with the inhabitants of the land when he lived in Eretz Plishtim, and he got out peacefully. And he said, you guys turned against me, and now you're coming to me. So Yitzchak says, why do you come to me? And they say, because we see Hashem is with you. And we see Hashem is going to give your children all these lands. And we want you to make an oath that you're not going to capture Eretz Plishtim. So what did Yitzchak do? He took a mesek hamer, which is like a stick that you drive the donkey, you hit the donkey to get him to move, and he would ride with it. And he gave this as a sign of this oath that he made. And now when David wants to be the king in Eretz Plishtim, he couldn't because of the covenant of Yitzchak, until he had to take back the bris shvus Yitzchak, as it says. David had to get back this mesek hamer, which is the stick that Avram gave them. And then the Plishtim were subdued and they couldn't come anymore. So again, Yitzchak's treaty limited Avram. Yaakov made a treaty which caused problems for the Yidden. As it says by Lavan, Lavan says, I know that Hashem is going to give your children all these lands. Make me a covenant, make me a promise that you won't capture Eretz Aram. And Yaakov made an oath, and they put up a mitbatzeves havonim, a pile of stones, and he brought his sons in with the oath, as it says, Vayimer Yaakov lechav liktu havonim. And Lavan says, if when the Yidden capture these lands, they shouldn't come to Eretz Aram to do any harm to the inhabitants. And when David wanted to come to Aram, he couldn't because of this oath of Yaakov, until he was able to break this monument, as Hashem said, Shaber to Shaber, Matzei V'Seim, and only after that did he capture Eretz Aram. So basically, we have over here that with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, treaties that they made with the Goyim, they thought that they're helping Yidden, we live in peace with our neighbors, but actually all these treaties actually backfired against them, and they should just be strong with Emunah B'Hashem, which is a general thing that you see, that the Rebbe Shlom wants that we should be strong with Emunah B'Tochen, and the Rebbe Shlom help them have a Gula Shlema B'Korev. Okay, any questions, comments? I'd love to hear from people.